you were taught in subtle ways that having ambition was a bad thing, or that making money as a woman makes you unfeminine or ruthless. Well, maybe there are family stories that have been passed down throughout the generations, and it's your turn to break the patterns and create a new family legacy around money. It's not your job to change their views on money. Your only responsibility is to yourself and to your future family. The best thing you can do to protect yourself from their opinions is clear your own money stuff, so you're not as vulnerable to their outright criticism or well-meaning concern. For example, you can add your parents to your forgiveness list, especially any old stories or situations that impact how much you think you're allowed to earn today. You can use EFT tapping to release any fear that you're being disrespectful by earning more money than your family. For example, even though I'm too ambitious, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though my parents have to work really hard for their money, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. By the way, EFT is a brilliant tool when you're visiting family. Anytime you're feeling triggered, just duck into the bathroom for a quick round of tapping. Okay, how not to choose your new prices. This is how not to choose your next prices, by crowdsourcing. And so many women do this by saying to everyone in their business circle, "Hey guys, I'm offering a course with 6 videos and 3 Q&As. How much would you pay for it?" However, there are a few significant problems with this approach to pricing. Number one, the people you ask might not be your target market. And while everyone might have an opinion, not every opinion will be useful. Number two, they're answering your question through the filter of their own money blocks. Number three, nobody knows what they'll pay for something until they actively need or want it. If you don't believe me around this, try it in one of your business groups or anonymously survey your audience. Ask them how much they would pay for a new course you're thinking about. Some people will say something like $10, other people will say $1,000 for the exact same thing. Trust me, it's a useless exercise. Not everyone bases their buying decisions on price, and not everyone is your target market. And pricing too low is usually a lot more detrimental to your brand than being too high. It's your job to set your prices. It's not your friend's job, your family's, or even your mastermind buddies. It's your job to look at the other P's of marketing too. See where you want to position yourself in the market and what kind of target market you want to attract. If you're waiting on someone else's permission to increase your prices, you might be waiting a long time. But if you need it, here it is. Here's your permission. So, if you can't ask other people for validation, how do you choose your new prices? The whole point of taking inspired action here is that you act quickly and avoid procrastinating too much. So here's my easy and relatively painless method for setting prices. It sounds really woo-woo, but it works. I ask my intuition. Surely there's a more scientific way. Well, the problem with most methods is that your pricing isn't just a sum of the parts of your offer. I often tell people that if pricing was merely the cost of materials, then how much would you pay for a Picasso? Certainly not millions of dollars. An iPhone would be a tenth of the retail price. Considering that pricing is the most subjective thing in the world, the only thing you can do is to be energetically congruent with your chosen price point. If you price too high because somebody else told you to, you'll feel out of integrity. If you undercharge, then you'll often attract clients who don't value your service. But when you feel in complete alignment with your pricing, you'll naturally start to attract the right clients. So here's how you choose a new price. It's an easy intuition exercise that you can try out today. Sit down and ask yourself what you would charge if you weren't scared. Take the first number that pops into your head and then increase it gradually until you feel an internal yes. It should feel exciting and a little bit scary. In my second year of business, I hit a massive price ceiling and tried this exercise. At this time, my prices were $300 per session, and even though I'd started out at $75 and increased every few months, I knew it was time to stretch myself again. Demand for sessions was outstripping my available time, and I was confident in the results I was getting for my clients. I also knew that I wanted to be a premium brand, and I wanted my prices to reflect that. I asked myself what I should charge next. Okay, what feels right? Is it $350? $450? How does $600 feel? At one point, I felt like puking, so I took it down a little bit and settled at $550. The new price still felt like a stretch, but I'd reached my new pricing threshold. Try it for yourself or get a friend or coach to ask you. Keep on pushing yourself until you find your next price. You can do this with income goals too. It should feel like a stretch, but in an exciting way. Don't get caught up in the numbers I just shared. Start with where you are right now, but push yourself to the next level. The price you choose has to be congruent with your energy right now, and that's why nobody else can set your prices but you. I once set a really big stretch income goal, but I could feel myself chickening out. And I realized that every time I wrote out my goals, my income was different every time because I couldn't commit. Sometimes I wrote out my stretch goal, but other times there was a difference of $50,000, even $100,000. From a law of attraction perspective, what message does that send out to the universe? You are not the average of your industry. Here's another mistake that women make around pricing. They average out the prices of their competition. The same principles apply. Don't base your prices on what other people in your industry think you should charge. Why not? Because if you do, you're using their income upper limits as the basis for your own. You're taking on their money baggage. A lot of female entrepreneurs have massive resistance to earning more, so don't use your competition as your barometer. It's okay to be the most expensive and to challenge conventions around what's possible for your industry. When I started out, most life coaches in my area charged $75 to $150 per session. So I started at the lower end of the market. I charged $75 per session or $270 for a package of six sessions, making it $45 a session. I used everyone else's prices as the barometer for my own, making assumptions about their ability or client results. When I started increasing my prices rapidly, I broke convention by being expensive. This didn't feel comfortable because honestly, it triggered other people. Like many women, I felt afraid to go outside the crowd thinking within my peer group. However, with all the money mindset work I was doing, I knew I needed to do it, even though it felt scary. And yes, of course, there's sometimes a limit to the price that the market will bear, but most women are way undercharging compared to what's truly possible. You can really charge what you like if you're offering a service that people want, especially if you have an online business, because you can find clients all around the world. You can be a niche provider, which means that you don't have to work with or be affordable for everyone. And I know that might push some of your buttons. Many women have resistance around charging premium pricing because they want to help everyone. But the paradox is that when you charge below your true value, you can only help a finite amount of people. When you take care of your own needs and charge enough to create your version of a first-class life, you have a lot more capacity to help others. For example, you might have the time and creative energy to write a book like this one that makes your work affordable for more people. You can create group programs like My Money Bootcamp to leverage your capacity to impact your community. You can create a lot of free resources and weekly articles for your audience. None of that happens by accident. It takes time and energy to be able to serve more people. It's not unethical to charge more, especially if you know you're great at what you do. A huge sign is that you're booked out and physically can't take on any more clients. One of my earliest coaches was really talented, but she was always booked out months in advance because her prices were really low given the results she got for her clients. I told her I would pay double to be able to see her more regularly. Her response was that nobody would pay it. Well, for a start, I would have. I actually stopped seeing her though because I felt like her money blocks were affecting our sessions, especially when she started criticizing my money goals. She just wasn't ready to charge more for many reasons, but her low prices probably affected her enjoyment of her work and made her impatient and even resentful of other people's success. You might think that nobody could afford your new prices, but don't make assumptions about what people can pay you. I've assumed people couldn't pay for coaching, and then I found out they'd bought a new car instead of investing in their businesses. And many of my wealthiest friends look like just normal middle-class people. One of my most successful girlfriends, Leonie Dawson, still dresses in tie-dyed hippie clothes and flip-flops and has perpetual bed hair. Don't assume. Remember that old chestnut? When you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. If you believe that you're surrounded by broke people, you'll only perpetuate that belief with your client base. If you believe energetically that you're too expensive, you will hear that from your potential clients. It's not true, but you have to release that belief first before it can be reflected back to you. By the way, some people will complain that you're too expensive even if you just charge $1. And the flip side is, even if you were charging $10,000 for the exact same thing, there'll always be someone who thinks it's too cheap. It's weird, but true. Increase your capacity for more abundance. What is your current capacity for wealth? You might think it's unlimited, but is it really? How do you know? Try this simple exercise to find out. Write down your current income or business revenue. Now add 10% to the number and sit with it for a moment. How does it feel? Does it start to bump up against your own income upper limit? Pay attention to any internal voices that come up and say things like, nope, that's not for you. You're not smart enough to earn that. Your clients will think you're a bitch. Nobody charges that much. Your industry contracts will think you're being demanding. You'll go broke and lose all your clients. That's too extreme. Nobody would pay that much. Okay, that's great information. Now, what would happen if your prices or income increased by 20%? How does that feel? What about if you doubled your income? How does that feel? For some of you, this exercise might cause an immediate physical reaction. Your heart might start to pound, or you might get short of breath and start to freak out. Or maybe it's just really exciting to you. Or you might think, how the hell am I going to do that? It's not your job right now to figure that out, girlfriend. Your only job is to dream it and then clear any blocks that come up on your path to making more money. But can you even remotely imagine that it's possible? After all, dreaming is free. And if stuff or resistance comes up for you, then that's hugely valuable information to clear and release. Remember, this is a lifelong process, and successfully raising your prices is not a one-time only thing. At some point, you'll feel out of alignment again, and it will be time to start the process from the beginning as you find new layers of the onion. Paul McCartney said this once. Somebody once said to me, but the Beatles were anti-materialistic. That's a huge myth. John and I literally used to sit down and say, now, let's write a swimming pool. No more bartering. Maybe you don't even have to raise your prices right now. Your biggest problem could be that you're not charging anything at all. And if so, you don't have a business, you have a hobby. This is especially important if you're dying to leave a job to make your business a full-time gig. I know it sounds obvious, but if you don't learn to accept money, you might be waiting a long time to make entrepreneurship a reality for you. Giving away services for free seems to be a recurring theme with entrepreneurial women, and many get stuck at the bartering stage where you exchange products or services with someone else. On the surface, bartering seems like a fabulous idea, especially when you have a low or zero budget to pay for services to grow your business. But when you barter instead of getting paid for your work, you devalue yourself as a businesswoman. You also show the universe that you don't see making money as a priority. It's a hugely symbolic decision to make, and I'm going to challenge you to create a zero bartering commitment as this month's inspired action. I made this decision in my second year of business, and it changed my income dramatically. Suddenly, the universe was like, she's finally in business, and actual paying clients showed up rapidly. In my first year of business, though, I bartered all the time. Mostly it was because I didn't want to say no and have people think I was being a bitch. Story of my life, right? At best, bartering energetically discounts your value. At worst, it takes you off track in your business. One of my first bartering arrangements was with a local photographer. We both had trouble charging appropriately for our services, so it seemed like a great idea to swap. I got amazing photos out of it, and what did she get? I built her a website. I'm not even a website developer. I just built my own shoddy and obviously amateur blog. So I created an equally crap one for her. She totally got the raw end of that deal. Now, that's usually the biggest problem with bartering. Not only does it energetically reaffirm that you're not really open for business, but one person often gets shafted. Think of your own experiences. Chances are that either you bartered for something you really didn't want because you didn't want to say no, or you didn't really get a great deal out of it. Now, you might disagree with me here and say, that you've had fabulous experiences. Perhaps you would have worked together anyway and the swap was of equal value and it was just easier to barter instead of paying each other. One of my money mentors, Kendall Summerhawk, said something that blew my mind. She said it should never be inconvenient to swap money. If you have equal services and truly value each other's work, then you should literally pay each other the money. Yes, you'll have to pay taxes on it and it will go through your books, but are you in business or not? You have to decide. I'm not going to judge you if you want to keep a small cash-only business, but if you have a desire for more money and success, then start as you mean to go on. So start your zero bartering commitment today. I guarantee that you'll receive a request in the next 24 hours, just as a test from the universe. Just a simple, thanks for the offer, but I don't barter my services anymore is fine. Yes, you might feel like a bitch, but it will become easier every time you do it. When you feel comfortable saying no, start denying requests for discounts too. You'll see a small amount of backlash, but most people will say, hey, that's okay, no harm in asking. That's right, no harm in asking and no harm in saying no. By doing this, you'll take back power in your business and allow yourself to make great money. Not everyone will agree with you, but after all, it's your business and you have the right to choose how you run it. When you set a big income goal, you have to be energetically consistent and refuse to exchange your services with anyone anymore. It gets to a point where you deserve to make real money for the work that you do. It's part of being able to receive more, and it's a strong sign to the universe that you're ready to be paid what you're worth. When I had more resistance to making money, I'd get people asking if they could do my courses for free. Of course, it was just a test from the universe, and that's exactly what will happen to you. You can even blame me and say it's part of your get rich, lucky bitch assignment. As soon as you make the decision that you deserve to be paid, your income will increase. You'll have more opportunities to make more money and you'll no longer align yourself to people who want freebies. If you want to give things away but still feel powerful around your money, you can organize a scholarship for your program or do a certain amount of pro bono work every year. But give yourself permission to make money from your talents. Set boundaries on giving free advice. Megan, a bootcamper who's a weight loss coach, would get up to a couple of hundred emails each day with requests for help and advice. She used to spend hours answering each and every one with personalized advice and encouragement. A small percentage turned it to actual paying clients, but most didn't. And why would they? They were essentially getting free consultations from her with no commitment on their part. This endless back and forth of emails was eating up too much of Megan's time and energy without any payoff. Sometimes she didn't even get a thank you. Not surprisingly, she was far short of her income goals. Busy? Yes. Wealthy? No. Energetically, she didn't have a real business. She was an unpaid advice service. And although on the surface it seemed like she was doing the nice, supportive thing, she was actually doing her clients a huge disservice. Honestly, as much as you think that one email can change your client's life, what really helps them is the deep transformation that longer-term commitment can provide. Getting advice over email isn't going to keep them accountable or pinpoint the deep blocks that they're facing every day. It's a very short-term solution, and frankly, it can be exhausting. I challenged Megan to set boundaries and to send a reply that simply said, thanks for your email. It sounds like you could do with some coaching to get the transformation you desire. Here's the link to my booking information. And obviously you can add more to that email, such as case studies or your business philosophy, so they can see whether you're a good fit for them. But make clear the next step they need to take to solve their problem. Maybe it's booking in with a free discovery session with you after you pre-qualify them with a survey. Maybe it's buying your book. Eventually, you can even train your assistant to answer these on your behalf, which frees up your creative energy even more. Megan said, while it was a scary step to make, it was actually very liberating. Setting boundaries can be a hugely confronting thing for women, especially if they have a block around receiving money for what they do. You might even have a business philosophy that sounds good on the surface. Like, I don't care about money, I just want to help people. While that sounds like a noble thought, guess what it prompts the universe to send you? Lots of opportunities to help people for free. Helping people and making money are not mutually exclusive. By being upfront in refusing requests for free help, you can save yourself huge amounts of time and energy while still allowing yourself to keep caring for your community. You can send people to your valuable free information, like your blog, and then give them the opportunity for deeper transformation by working with you personally. It doesn't mean that you don't care. People who are really serious about wanting your help won't mind paying for it, and it's a cleaner relationship when both parties have skin in the game. Make a commitment from today that you're officially open for more business, and that means no more discounts, no more bargaining, and no more bartering. It might seem daunting, but this is the most symbolic, inspired action you can take to start creating more money. When you show the universe that you believe your services are worth paying for, you'll start to attract more clients who believe that too and are happy to pay you. Win-win for all. Jean Chatsky said, "You are taking control of your money because doing so will make you feel happier and smarter, more confident, more content, and more useful." Overcoming income resistance. I'm going to repeat this for you. It's totally normal to feel resistance around increasing your prices. It's normal to have conflicting feelings around earning more money. No matter how many goals you set, and no matter how motivated or ambitious you are, don't blame yourself if you feel like you're bumping up against a new energetic income ceiling. Don't be surprised when it happens again in the future either. It could come after a period where everything felt amazing and money flowed to you like crazy. It's normal, and it's part of growth as an entrepreneur with ambitious goals. The good news is that you have everything you need in this book to break through it. The bad news is that eventually you'll hit the next ceiling. Sorry. Every single time I raise my prices, it's really scary, even now. I worry that nobody will pay me, that somebody will email saying, "Who do you think you are, you bitch?" and that my success will all go downhill. The difference is that nowadays, that feeling doesn't last too long, and I have the tools to get out of that funky place, and you do too. How often should you increase your prices? Increase your prices as often as you like, but evaluate them at least every 6 months to see if they still feel good to you. This just makes sure that your prices are still an energetic match and that you're attracting your desired clients. At the very minimum, evaluate and increase your prices once a year, even just to keep up with the rate of inflation. And I know you can do better than that. Honestly, though, there are no rules. You could raise your prices on your premium service every quarter if you want to. You might think that that's too soon, but honestly, when you're doing this money block work, you'll energetically move very quickly, and the results you get for your clients will increase dramatically. It doesn't matter if you don't help people to make more money as part of your services. Your new money mindset will spread throughout your business. As you increase your prices on your most intensive work, you'll have more time to add other products and services for your community that don't require as much effort for you. So look at your product funnel to ensure that you have a mix of free or more affordable offerings such as ebooks, courses, or other non-one-to-one products. This will make you feel really good about serving people who can't afford to work with you yet, and it means that you can keep your personal attention as a more premium price and exclusive offering. There are many places online where you can educate yourself around business models, and virtually every industry can add in opportunities to make passive income. But it's okay to keep your personal time and attention for your more VIP clients. It's okay to be expensive. It's okay to be out of the budget of some people. You never want to be known as the cheapest in your industry. Undercutting everyone else is not a quick or fun way to become rich. Yes, it's going to press some buttons, but premium pricing is the way to go. Whenever you hit old resistance, you might start to talk yourself out of everything on your goal list as unrealistic or unnecessary. It's not unusual to do that, so don't worry. You'll probably downgrade your next big income goal to be something less scary, so you have the excuse to backtrack on your new prices. You might even go back to old habits and buy economy items again, like cheap toilet paper or budget travel. you'll get a whole bunch of temptations like old clients dropping out or people asking you for loans. Recognize your pattern of RSI, repetitive sabotage injury, and stay strong in everything you've learned so far. This is only a temporary test. This is a normal part of the process and everyone goes through it. Try this mantra. It's safe for me to be rich. Imagine that you increase your prices this month just by 10%. That's going to add up over the next year. What would you spend that extra money on? Travel? Peace of mind in paying your bills? Getting mortgage-free quicker? Donating more to charity? Making more upgrades to a first-class life? When you work on changing your money beliefs, it has a knock-on effect to the rest of your life. You might even find yourself manifesting more than just money. I asked Paula, one of my Money Bootcamp participants, what life is like for her now that she's regularly manifesting more money and working on her money blocks. She said, I feel so grateful. My life right now could be described as ask and it is given. 2 days ago, I said to the universe I needed cash and I found 250 euros out of the blue. I said to the universe I needed to buy organic olive oil because I'm running out of it. And my in-laws bought us a 5-liter bottle from their trip. I said to the universe we needed to buy a vacuum cleaner for our new apartment and we received an industrial Hoover that nobody ever uses anymore from my boyfriend's family. I said to the universe I needed a new kitchen clock and I found one in the box room. The list goes on and on. I'm waiting for the huge stuff to manifest now and I'm sure it's on its way. Thanks, universe. Thanks, Denise. And thanks, Bootcamp. You know what? Life can seriously be that easy when you increase your energetic income level and allow yourself to receive. How to become a good money saver. A really symbolic inspired action is to start a savings account or increase the amount you're saving. This sounds really easy, but it might bring up some more stuff to declutter. Have you ever gotten really gung-ho about saving money and then had something unexpected come up that meant you had to raid your savings? Or maybe you manifested something bad that wiped them out completely. Maybe you've told yourself you're either a saver or a spender and that you can never change. A while ago, I realized a big connection to why I could never save money when I noticed that I was uncomfortable with having excess food around me. What's the connection? If there was food on my plate, I had to eat it all, even if I felt uncomfortable. It felt naughty and bad if there was even a scrap left because of the starving children in Africa that I was told about. So I often overate as a form of body sabotage. And I realized I was the exact same way with money. As I said earlier, I lived paycheck to paycheck, and if I had money in my purse, I had to consume, spend it all. I didn't feel comfortable energetically unless I spent every single cent in my account at the end of the month. So even when I went shopping, I'd keep going until there was no money left, even if I had to spend my last $5 on a smoothie. I felt guilty if I had more than I actually needed. So energetically, even if I saved money, I'd manifest an unexpected expense that took me right back to square one again. And this is one of the most common money blocks I see when working with women. They feel guilty if they have spare money lying around and feel like they should give it to others or consume it as quickly as possible. Trust me, this is not an income thing. I've seen the same behavior in women at all income levels. I personally know people who easily blow through $1 million a year because they are so uncomfortable with excess money that they do everything they can, consciously or not, to reduce it. It's like they're not allowed to have a comfortable buffer or to create an easy life. Some women think they'll become lazy if they don't have the adrenaline rush each month to hit their living expenses, or they try and prove to themselves that they can achieve any challenge, even self-imposed financial problems. It almost doesn't matter how much you earn. If you have this block of being uncomfortable with excess more than you need money, you will find a way to spend it all. Even if you raise your prices, you might find a way to unconsciously increase your expenses, just enough that it doesn't make too much of a difference. I had to train myself to become comfortable with having more money than I needed. Then, magically, the same thing happened with my food. I became okay with saying, I'm done, and pushing it away. Whether it's with money or food, it's really healthy to start becoming okay with more abundance. If you find it hard to save, see where else in your life you're uncomfortable with excess, whether it's pleasure, gifts, time, or anything else. If you're uncomfortable with having more than you need, it will have a huge impact on your ability to save and make more money. Maybe you feel bad if someone gives you a present out of the blue, or if your husband buys you flowers just because. Maybe you're a classic re-gifter because you think somebody else deserves it more than you. If you have this block, your action is to start a very small savings account and see what comes up for you. It might take some time for you to become accustomed to having a financial buffer, but trust me, you don't have to be perfect. I've been saving money regularly for a while now, and it's amazing how different it feels. Instead of living on the brink financially, I live in a secure place of knowing that I'm taken care of if my income changes. But this didn't happen overnight. Just like the concept of incremental upgrade, I started very small and I got more comfortable with larger amounts. I literally started with saving $5 a week, and I raided that savings account often, but it was an automatic direct debit, so it just started again the next week. I couldn't rely on doing it myself because I would probably chicken out or tell myself I couldn't afford it. Even though I was earning good money and I kept raising my prices, I was weirdly scared to save it. It felt somehow grown up, and I felt resentful that I wasn't allowed to spend it. As usual, anything that triggers you is a great opportunity to clear and release old stories and blocks. I realized that I had a huge story about being irresponsible with money. As a kid, I often felt deprived, so whenever I had a bit of extra money, I went crazy and spent it quickly. I didn't always think my purchases through when I was an adult because, again, I didn't trust myself to spend it properly. I also felt like having money just sitting around was dangerous and wasteful when other people needed it more than me. So I did forgiveness work on myself for spending so excessively in the past, and I listed out all of the stupid purchases I could remember, and I tried this mantra: it's safe for me to have excess money. Because that's what it felt like at first. It felt excessive to have money that I didn't use. When I realized that I never even missed that $5, I upped it to $7, then $15, then $22, then $33, then $50. And now I have a very healthy savings account that I don't feel tempted to spend at all. At one point, I had $1 million cash in my savings account for our dream house. And I'm pretty sure I'll have that again. I'm pretty close to it right now, but it's for another dream. It might not sound like a lot to start with $5, but I was so uncomfortable with the excess that I had never ever in my life been able to save money. So begin saving today. Set up an online savings account today with a direct debit of a very small amount of money, one that you won't miss too much. Every 2 months, increase it by another tiny amount. See what comes up for you when you even think about it. When you get comfortable having more money than you actually need, you become wealthier, but you have to deal with this at an energetic level. That's when you turn excess into abundance, whether it's more money, more clients, more pleasure, or more anything else. And that's how you create your first class life. You acclimatize to it one step at a time. The save and never spend syndrome. Some women are the complete opposite and are brilliant at saving money, but it's never enough to make them feel safe because they're so terrified of spending it and ending up poor. So they squirrel it away and never enjoy it. The extreme example is the little old lady who lived in poverty her whole life but gave millions away in her will. If this sounds like you, examine why you don't like spending your money, because this will give you just as much valuable information. Is it because you think you don't deserve it? Are you worried that you'll be broke if you spend a little bit of the money? Maybe you're a reformed shopper who has swung towards the other extreme. If it's not enough now, it will never be enough. You'll never feel safe enough, so you have to give yourself permission to feel good now. Spend a little for pleasure. There's nothing wrong with having a huge amount of savings in the bank, but I'm going to encourage you to spend some of it. Like the assignment for the never savers, your action is about incremental spending, so you get used to actually spending your own money. Take a small percentage of your income, say 5%. Every month, you have to spend that money on upgrades that bring you pleasure. Denise's orders. Increase that amount over time so you're spending at least 10% of your income on things that make you feel amazing. This practice will totally change your life. Instead of causing you to squander all of your money like you fear, it will help you to manifest even more in your life. And Bono said, "The world is more malleable than you think, and it's waiting for you to hammer it into shape." Rearrange the universe in your favor. Make a public commitment. When you're taking inspired action, one of the best things you can do is to make a public commitment so you don't change your mind or chicken out. Here's the thing. When you've made a big announcement, either through your blog or newsletter or some other public way, you're going to feel like it's real. If you're the only one who knows about your launch date or your early bird deadline for your course, it's really easy to backtrack. And trust me, I've done it a million times. That's why your inspired action has to be bold and not just procrastination designed as busy work. Making big real world commitments, being serious about them, but actually following through on your promise with real world actions will show the universe that you're deadly serious about wanting to manifest more money. It shows that you're ready to take your life to the stratosphere of what's possible. And this is what separates the rah-rah personal development junkies from the people who actually manifest amazing success in the real world. Positive thinking will only get you so far. Now you've got to hustle, girlfriend. By the way, despite the title of this book, I don't necessarily believe in luck by itself, except when it comes to the well-known definition of opportunity meeting preparation. I honestly believe that you make your own luck. I really see success in life and business as being made up of hundreds of big commitments over time. Each one will feel big and scary and you want to back out of it. But then once you've achieved it, it'll be no big deal. And that's why your commitments have to be things that stretch you and they have to be public. Otherwise, the universe just says, meh, she doesn't mean it. Do you remember the Pantene shampoo ad from the 90s whose tagline was, "It won't happen overnight, but it will happen"? Again, it's the same with getting rich. You have to set realistic but slightly scary goals so you can experience your wealth over hundreds of wins. And that's how you make it happen, not by winning the lottery. That way, you won't become a millionaire overnight and then lose it all by buying a private jet or something stupid that you can't really afford. Announce your new prices. As we've already discussed at length in the previous chapter, raising your prices is a huge inspired action that will have an immediate impact on your income. And it's wonderful to say that you'll do it, but the best way to make the commitment stick is to make a public announcement stating that your prices are going up and when. So that's your challenge for today. Even if you haven't decided your exact price increase yet, put it on your website or newsletter and figure out the details later. I've done this numerous times, by the way. I was too blocked to actually figure out a number, but I made a big announcement on my site. My prices are going up at the end of the month, so make sure you book by then. I didn't even say how much they were going to be, but I got more bookings than ever. And yes, I finally did figure out my new pricing by the end of the month, but if I hadn't made that public and very imperfect commitment, it would never have happened. If you wait until you feel ready, it will never happen. And you'll just be deluding yourself. The more public you make it, the less chance you'll back out. And yes, you might still have a momentary freak out and get scared, but you can just push through. Being scared is totally normal in business, by the way. It's not a sign that you're not going to make it. I'm a big fan of fake it till you make it. And you'll be surprised about how much other people take you at face value. People will believe you. The more people you tell about your new prices, the more their belief compounds, and then you'll just move forward automatically without thinking about it. And this always astounds me. When I started writing books, I had to force myself to tell people I was an author. I didn't believe it, but the more I said it, the more I could see that other people believed me. People started asking me when my next book was coming out, and I was like, wow, they really think I'm a real writer. When you tell people your prices are going up, they'll believe you. When you say your new course is launching on a particular date, they'll believe you. Because other people believe you, you'll start taking action toward it to make the deadline. Taking action towards your goals, no matter how small, will help you to believe that it's possible. Just move forward as if it's happening. And before you know it, you'll have made a huge leap forward. And that doesn't just work for price increases, by the way. If your dream is to buy a house, go see a mortgage broker or a financial advisor to discuss financing. They will believe that you want to buy a house. And why wouldn't they, after all? They'll run the numbers for you and tell you how much you can borrow. Faced with that real number, you can go and tell a real estate agent that you are buying a house, and they'll believe you too. Go to open houses, and before long, you'll start to believe you're buying a house. All these small actions will help you to act as if you are someone who is really buying a house. You'll start to tell your friends and family that you're buying a house, and they'll tell you their stories about when they bought a house, and they will believe you too. And then, before you know it, you'll actually be buying a house. But none of this will happen unless you make a series of small commitments. Instead, you'll be forever sitting in your old house by yourself with it all happening in your head. Get it out of your head and into the real world. Remember, your inspired action can't be some vague, time-wasting action like research. You can research pricing forever, but until you announce it, it's always going to be vague and theoretical. So go do it now. Even if you do a vague announcement on your social media pages, something like, hey guys, my prices go up at the end of the month, that's a great start and you can figure out the rest later. Pony up and put down some dollars. I love playing Texas Hold'em, especially for cash. I don't have to pay a lot of money to enjoy it. Even $5 will keep me concentrated on my cards. But if I'm just playing for fun, I'll bow out early, I'll get distracted by TV or my phone and take smaller risks. I literally have no investment in winning. You have to have some skin in the game, and that's the best commitment of all. Another way to take an inspired action is to ensure that you've put your money where your mouth is. Don't wait for the money to show up before you commit. It works the other way around. Put down that non-refundable deposit on the holiday, the conference, or the training course, and you will move heaven and earth to manifest the rest of the money. If you wait until it falls from the sky until you commit, you'll probably lose the chance. I was talking to Lucky B. Janelle, an awesome young entrepreneur who was frustrated about increasing her coaching prices. She told me she was attracting time wasters and people who tried to haggle with her all the time. She knew she wanted to price herself higher than her competition, and her branding definitely reflected that. She was seriously talented, but something wasn't gelling. I asked her what was the most amount of money she'd ever spent on a course. She was like, about $100, but I hardly ever spend money on courses. I usually try and do a barter arrangement to get it free. Yep. I lovingly pointed out to her that if she had never experienced paying for a premium price course herself and always had bartered, chances are she'd attract people with the exact same vibration. So even if you increase your prices all the time, you have to be congruent with your goal. You can't ask your clients to do something that you don't fundamentally believe in yourself. There's an energetic mismatch and they can feel it. When I was seriously hustling my business to go past six figures, I knew that I had to move house if I wanted to move to a bigger income level. We were living in a small, kind of cute apartment, but it wasn't a millionaire's house. My office was a spare bedroom, which was supposed to house two single beds, but to fit in my desk, we piled the beds on top of each other, so the back of my office chair touched this huge mound of mattresses. It's pretty hard to manifest a $1 million business in that kind of space, right? And even though my clients couldn't see it, they could energetically feel it. It was a mismatch to my premium pricing. So, if you want to increase your prices, you have to look at where you need to up the investment level in your own business. Going from a small apartment to a penthouse was just the action I needed to take to up-level my life. Yours might be completely different, but you have to invest in yourself for the universe to invest in you. Chapter summary. It's safe for you to earn more than other people in your life. Allow yourself to receive actual money and say no to bartering. Income resistance is normal, but you'll break through each block one at a time. Start saving and being comfortable with excess money. Fake it till you make it. The universe can't tell the difference and neither can your brain. And make sure you have some skin, i.e. money, in the game. Chapter 10, learn to actually receive money. Donna Brazile said, why not you? Because there's no one better. Why now? Because tomorrow isn't soon enough. So what's the final step of the manifesting formula? It's a really obvious one. You have to actually receive the money. Okay, it might not seem obvious, but it's not so easy for some women. In fact, when money starts to come into your life, you might fall back into old sabotaging patterns and resist it. So go back to the birthday candle analogy we talked about earlier in this book. Around the same time that you learned never to share your wishes with others, you probably also learned that it was greedy to take more than your share. Don't be greedy. Share with others if you have extra. And remember, it's more polite to refuse. Little girls in particular are praised for sharing or for being a good girl because they give rather than receive. And now that you're grown up, have you ever felt guilty for having good luck? Do you feel like that somebody else deserves it, whatever it is, more than you? That you should help yourself last? This is incredibly common. You know the Bible quote, it's more blessed to give than receive? Many women unknowingly live by it. Have you ever been out to dinner with a friend and wrestled her for the check because neither of you can receive the gift of a free meal? I have, but I've trained myself to say, thank you. That's so nice of you if it's my turn to receive. If you're a parent, you've probably experienced this feeling too, the feeling that you'd rather your kids get everything that they want, even if you miss out. And many women literally serve themselves last in the family or eat their kids' leftovers because they don't value themselves enough. And this is beautifully summed up by the actress Terry Hatcher in her book, Burnt Toast. She said, are you the kind of person who tries to scrape off the black? Do you throw it away or do you just eat it? If you shrug and eat the toast, is it because you're willing to settle for less? Maybe you don't want to be wasteful, but if you go ahead and eat that blackened square of bread, then what you're really saying to yourself and to the world is that that piece of bread is worth more than your own satisfaction. Up until now, I ate the burnt toast. Sometimes you get so used to living like that that when your fortune turns around, you don't know how to handle it. So don't worry if you've gotten to the end of this book and you still feel resistance to receiving money. You are breaking the habits of a lifetime. Many women metaphorically and literally eat the burnt toast, but it's time for something else. It's your time and you are ready for the next step. So how do you know if you're resisting a gift from the universe? Well, maybe you've thought things like, I'm not ready for that opportunity. Someone else deserves this more than me. I should give this to someone else, or maybe next year. Or you find yourself procrastinating on doing things that will drive your life forward, like one lucky bee had procrastinated writing the book proposal that an agent had actually asked her for. So how do you really receive the money? It might take practice, and as usual, I recommend coming at it from all angles. Maybe you need to practically receive the money. When I first self-published my books on Amazon, I didn't have the right tax information to actually receive my payments into my bank account. So I let the money build up in my Amazon account. I was resisting receiving that money, not only because it would cost me to do the paperwork, which cost me about $300, but because deep down it felt like cheating to earn money on something I'd already created. I had to do something really practical to allow that money to flow to me. It sounds stupid to resist spending $300 to gain potentially thousands, and I had about $1,500 built up in my account. But it's totally normal behavior. At the start of my business, I always procrastinated on sending invoices because I felt bad asking people for the money. Now, as a successful business owner, I'm on the other side of it, chasing up suppliers so I can give them money. And I know it's because they're probably second-guessing themselves and worrying about whether they're worth it. Well, I just want to pay them the money. So what do you need to do to receive more money? And here's some ideas for you. Maybe you need to sort out a tax situation. Transfer money from your PayPal account to your bank account. Ask for cash instead of a credit to your account. Do the paperwork. Apply for a new business structure. Set yourself up with a tax number. Send an invoice. Send a billing schedule.
or literally throw away the burnt toast.
Or maybe you just need to emotionally receive the money. And this is where you need to go back to step one, declutter and give yourself permission to make money. Even if other people in your life are struggling, even if you don't quote unquote work hard for it, even if you resist it for doing something easy, and even though there are starving people in the world. When you can reconcile the conflicting feelings and allow yourself to receive money anyway, you'll get better and better at letting it flow to you. So revisit your forgiveness list and tap on any feelings as you identify them. No need to be perfect. Step 5 of the manifesting formula is always about troubleshooting. As I said earlier, the formula is designed as a circle. When you get to the end, you'll probably need to go back to the beginning because, and I keep saying this, there's always more to declutter. So if you feel guilty when you make money, go back to step 1, declutter. If you're manifesting random stuff that's not quite what you wanted, go back to step 2, decide exactly what you want. If you're feeling doubtful about your goal ever coming true, revisit some of the positive anchoring experiences from step 3, surround your life with positivity. If you're feeling impatient, go back to step 4, take inspired action. There's always something you could be doing in the limbo period between setting a goal and seeing it actually manifest. And if you're having trouble receiving, well, that's step 5, and so on. The work never stops. You just get quicker at doing the steps. Trust me when I say that money doesn't solve money blocks. As I've told you repeatedly in this book, I still get blocked around money, and I don't know a single successful woman who has ever stopped working on herself. But it will get easier. What used to stop me in my tracks for months at a time is now often just a momentary thought. I can catch it, recognize the belief, do some EFT tapping, and then I can move on. If you strive for progress, not perfection, which is impossible anyway, you'll gradually allow yourself to step into your first class life. Anchor in your new money experience. In neurolinguistic programming, i.e. NLP, anchoring simply means to associate a good feeling with something else, to bring it into your subconscious so you can access it at will. In manifesting terms, this means you can return quickly to that positive feeling so you can attract more goodness into your life. I love celebrating and anchoring in successful experiences, and I believe that part of the reason my income has grown quickly is because I've celebrated every milestone. When you applaud yourself for every success, you anchor that experience into your subconscious and you attract even more success. Remember how in my first month of business I made $225? Even though I've heard other women berate themselves for being a failure for that kind of result, I celebrated it. I actually bought myself a bottle of champagne because I wanted to send a clear message to the universe that I was proud of every single cent and that I expected more was on its way. Celebrating is a crucial part of receiving. It's a way of saying thank you to yourself and to the universe for your good fortune. Never stop learning and growing. But when amazing things happen, take a moment to anchor in the experience. Feel the weight of that experience and don't be afraid to ask for more. Lucky B Annalise said, I realized that every time I got a new client or had a big win, I almost shuffled it under the carpet so I could move on to whatever was next. When I started taking a few moments to anchor in the experience and celebrate it, sometimes with champagne, sometimes with a pat on the back, I felt like I was layering in a more permanent foundation of success for my business. Plus, it feels great to take a moment to remind myself how far I've come. Many women, though, are afraid to celebrate their achievements for a few complex reasons. They worry that if they acknowledge it, they'll jinx it. They want to keep their success under the radar so they won't attract something bad to balance it out. They feel guilty about it. They feel like it was a fluke, like it didn't count. They try to minimize their involvement or work. They think that what they've achieved isn't good enough, so it doesn't count. They don't want to make other people feel bad about themselves, and they don't want to be seen as bragging. Is it any wonder that we women have trouble receiving? I've deliberately created space in the bootcamp forum for women to brag and celebrate without fear. I've banned disclaimers such as, oh, I know it's not as big as other people, but I want to celebrate, or it's probably a fluke, but You gotta cut that shit out and learn to receive graciously from the universe, knowing that you 100% deserve it. So celebrate your money wins. I used to text Mark every single time I got a new client. Celebrate your testimonials and give yourself a pat on the back every time you experience one of those scary rites of passage, like your first hater or your first refund request. Other people will see those things as evidence that they're not meant to be successful, but you will see them as important stages on your way to your first class life. And make sure you have safe spaces around you to brag. Not everyone will be supportive of you, and that's okay. Consider joining us in the bootcamp if you need to up-level the support you receive from the people around you. Here's what Lucky Bee Stacey Harris said about the support she receives there. The community of Lucky Bitches is powerful. The support you get around the content and the energy of the community is so amazing. You can go for support, you can go for accountability, and you have the place to go celebrate without judgment. So I'm sending over my sincere congratulations and acknowledgement right now for everything you're doing in your life. I know you're working hard to create an incredible life for yourself. Plus, if you're breaking massive poverty cycles in your family, never underestimate how difficult that is. You're doing an amazing job that will impact generations to come. Chapter summary. Get practical and set up systems so you can easily receive money and make it easy for your clients to pay you. Give yourself energetic permission to make money and revisit the decluttering exercises in Chapter 4 if you feel resistance. Anchor in every money win, big and small, so you can compound all of the good feelings and attract more. You don't have to be perfect. This is a lifelong process. Dust yourself off and try again. It's worth it. You are worth it. Conclusion. Final thoughts from zero to millionaire. One thing I've learned over my abundance journey is that making money gets easier and easier. You'll discover this for yourself as you get richer. Success breeds more success. They say that in business, making your first million is the hardest. But for me, the first $1,000 felt pretty hard because I was fighting against my money blocks the whole time. I never gave up the belief that I was meant to be rich though. Breaking past the 100K mark felt hard because I had to change my perception of myself to someone who was a six-figure earner. But honestly, after that, the ride to a million wasn't too hard. If you don't have cheerleaders in your life though, you have to do it for yourself. What's the alternative? That you never get to live your dream life? No way. So be completely biased toward yourself. Become a relentless optimist and see everything as evidence that you're totally on track. The more evidence you collect that you're successful, the easier it will be to attract more of the same. Over the next couple of days, I'd love you to commit to celebrating the successes that you've been able to bring in your life through the changes you've made around money. See how far you've come in dealing with negative people or situations in your life and how much stronger you are. Celebrate the new boundaries. Total up every single cent of extra money or free things that you've bought in from reading this book and congratulate yourself on your new energetic income. You've done that all by yourself. Now, you might not buy a bottle of champagne each time you achieve a new goal, but it's always worth taking a moment to acknowledge yourself. I get messages every day from women all around the world saying I've changed their lives. And while that's nice for my ego, I always respond with congratulations. You've done the work. So say to yourself, I'm really proud of you, babe. Well done. I'm proud of you too. Be rich. Don't try to get rich. As you've read, it's not about trying to get rich. It's honestly about being rich now. And don't try get rich quick schemes. Honestly, they never work. What does work is to consistently and clearly tell the universe what you want and then show it that you mean business. I really hope you use the information in this book to create amazing things in the world with your new wealthy mindset. It starts with the decision that you already are rich. It really can be that easy. You are exactly where you need to be. If you feel like you haven't achieved everything that you wanted to by this stage in your life, don't worry. You're exactly where you need to be right now, and you found this book for a reason. It's actually the perfect time because there's never been an opportunity like today. You might feel like you should be doing things quicker, doing more forgiveness work, manifesting more money, or getting further along in your journey. The problem is that when you allow yourself to feel like that, you're always going to feel like that. You're always going to feel like you're a step behind if your underlying message to yourself is, I'm not enough. Constant clearing through life-changing tools like